The Scenic Drive with Rion.
Joining us tonight, all the way from our friends at Heart FM in Cape Town, Colonel Will Endley, recently released from a prison in South Sudan. Now, how did he end up there? He's joining us tonight from Cape Town. Hi, Will.
Good evening, Rion.
Nice to talk to you.
Likewise.
Like really, really nice to talk to you. Remember the whole Free Will campaign trying to get you out of there? Listen, how long have you been back?
Well, on Friday it will be exactly 4 weeks. I was officially released 4 weeks ago.
Yes.
During a presidential briefing to South Sudan during a peace celebration ceremony that was held in Juba.
Heaven's sake. Yeah. All right. Now, obviously, if a man sits longer than 2 years in a prison, there's a few things he wants to do the moment he gets home. What was on your return to civilization list?
Well, the first one, I probably would be sensitive, I had to say it, but to get home, try to settle down, and try to get back to normal as quickly as possible.
Yeah, what does that mean? Like, what did you want to do when you get home?
Well, firstly, you know, looking at walking outside without someone controlling, you know, what time you wake up, when you go to the toilet, just to be free to decide what you want to do, where you want to do, and most importantly, how you want to do it.
Yeah. And food-wise, was there something you craved?
Well, my family are quite well known for being cooks and chefs, so good leg of lamb, roast chicken, and anything except beans and pop or porridge.
I can imagine. All right, so you literally missed the last, what is it, 2 years, 2 months? You missed everything that was going on in South Africa, did you?
Yeah, well, the first 18 months I wasn't in a prison. I was in the National Security Service Detention Center, which is a total different ballgame to the prison. But for the last 9 months when I was in Juba Central Prison, I had access to a radio, and I also managed to get access to a telephone most of the time, sometimes legally, sometimes illegally. But from then I was able to catch up what the news was happening in South Africa at the same time what was happening, most importantly for me then, in South Sudan itself.
Okay, so we need to explain to people now how you ended up being a prisoner in South Sudan. So you worked with the opposition leader, did you?
Correct. I actually met him way back in 2007. I was the country manager for an American demining company called Ronco Consulting Corporation, and I left South Sudan at the end of 2014 working for another company, came back to South Africa. I again met up with Dr. Riek Machar, and he's a personal friend of mine.
This is the opposition leader, is Dr. Machar?
Correct. Before he was the vice president to Salva Kiir, who is still the current president, and he was removed from his position in July, I think it was, in 2013. Due to problems in the party itself. There was only one party in South Sudan then called the SPLM. And Dr. Machar removed from his position December 2013. Massive fighting broke out in Juba itself, which led to the civil war that has been ongoing for nearly 5 years. And hopefully now with a peace agreement being signed, it has come to an end.
So you were blamed of what? Why did you get arrested?
I was accused of trying to overthrow the government, providing equipment, entering the country illegally, and a couple of other things, but those were the three main points.
Okay, and obviously all a bunch of crap.
Yeah, well, you know, a guy called James Gadet Doc was arrested 2 months after me. He was abducted in Kenya, deported back to South Sudan. His first court appearance was in June last year. My first appearance was on the 27th of December last year, and my case finished 2 weeks after him.
Yes.
So beforehand, it was guilty until confirmed guilty.
So tell me about the actual arrest. Would they show up at your door? Well, what happened exactly?
I was also accused of hiding away in a hotel, which I'd stayed in for 5 months, in a very small place. And basically, I was betrayed by people within the movement who defected to the government, who wrote reports and made up stories. So I was sitting, hiding away in the bar, having a nice cold beer, when I was surrounded by six operatives in civilian clothes from national security. Outside, there was probably about 40 or 50 of them in uniform. So it was almost a fair fight.
Yes. Now they take you to National Security Headquarters. Or where do they take you next?
They took me straight to the National Security Headquarters, which everybody knows as the Blue House. It's quite notorious. And from there, they took me straight to the so-called detention center, where I was put in an area about 10 meters by 5 meters. The next morning, I found out that was the exercise area inside the detention center. And no one was allowed to talk to me, so I felt quite lonely, quite strange. But at that point, I thought a small misunderstanding, which would be resolved within a couple of days.
So I'm sure at some point they started questioning you, and I'm sure this went from bad to worse.
Well, the first questioning or interrogation, as I call it, started only 2 weeks after I'd been taken inside. It was a so-called commission of inquiry consisting of 3 people. But at the same time, some interrogations, questioning took place after hours, some of them Saturday evenings. One of them was at 3 o'clock on a Sunday morning. And when you move into the Blue House and the lights are off, except one little office door and light is shining, then you know you're not there for tea at that time in the morning.
Now, what would they do when they question you? Would they slap you around? What would they do?
In the beginning, a lot of screaming and shouting. The typical good cop, bad cop, but totally amateurish in the beginning. And then towards the end, the case was handed over to the Department of Justice. Again, another commission of inquiry, a formal one, but the same result. You know, threats will keep you for 10 years. We'll take you there and you won't see the light of day again, which didn't make much difference at that point in time. I didn't expect to see the light of day again.
Sure. Now, just before we take a quick break, you were convicted and they sentenced you to death this year. Am I right? You were waiting that. You were waiting execution.
Correct. I was sentenced firstly to 9 years imprisonment, which was to be followed by the death sentence.
How do they execute people in South Sudan?
Well, there are two ways. If you have any military connection, it's in front of a firing squad. And in my case, I was sentenced to death by hanging.
Okay. Wow. Well, it's good to have you back, man.
The Scenic Drive with Rion.